لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كلام الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، فإن كل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، كل ضلالة في النار. وإنما توعدون لآت وما أنتم بمعجزين. Praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and He's the only one worthy of praise. I seek His help, His guidance, and His forgiveness. I believe in Him and I trust Him. I seek refuge in Almighty Allah from the evil of our passions. Indeed, whomsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides him to Al-Islam, no one can mislead him after Allah. And whomsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put him astray, no one can guide him after Allah. I testify, O believers, that there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah Rabbil Alameen. And I testify that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his messenger and the seal of all the prophets. O Muslims, you must know that the best speech is the speech of Almighty Allah, which is the Quran. The best guidance is the course of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is his sunnah. The worst of all affairs is innovation and addition to the religion of Al-Islam. Indeed, every addition to the religion of Al-Islam will lead to hellfire. I adjure you as well as myself to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the best of your ability. Fear Allah and don't die unless you are Muslims. After this, I greet you all with the greeting of Al-Islam. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. May the peace and the blessing of Almighty Allah be with you all. Like to welcome all of you to our weekend Islamic school, and inshallah we continue with our regular class about the tafsir of last juz. Before we start, due to the schedule of Ramadan, we had to change the schedule from 11:30 in the morning to late afternoon. Inshallah, before we start our class, there is a question that the sister had requested to be presented before the class, so we entertain the question first, and after this we get back to our class, inshallah. You may go ahead.
Yes,
what? Alright. The sister, her question concerning the Christian way of marriage, is it acceptable in Al-Islam or no? And inshallah, I go with a small detail about this answer. First of all, it is permissible for a man to marry a Christian woman or a Jew woman. It is forbidden in Al-Islam for a Muslim woman to marry a Jew man or a Christian man. It is lawful for the Muslims to marry from the people of the book. When we say the people of the book, i.e. Christian and Jewish. Although that is lawful to marry from the Christian and the Jewish, it has to be conducted according the way of Islamic law, which require a dowry, require two Muslim witnesses practicing their Islam, and also require a guardian, which a Muslim guardian, to give the sister in Al-Islam. So we have to understand that what is called a civil marriage, which a man take a woman and go to the court in downtown and get a marriage license, and after this is the officer or a notary public or the priest will perform this marriage, this is not a marriage, this is not acceptable, and this will be a haram relationship. And as soon a woman and a man know this, they need to ask Allah's forgiveness and repent and to go ahead about doing it over according to the Islamic law. Another thing that I would like to clarify here, that for those who are in the website, this is Muhammad Sayyid Adli speaking. I am coming with Dr. Omar, with Dr. Omar name, because I have another name, Muhammad Saad Adli, from the other computer in my office. So I don't do, I think you can know my voice by this time already, is it? Okay. The issue here, can a marry a Muslim man marry a Christian woman because she's a Christian? There is a condition for this, and one of the main conditions that is afifa. Afifa, that means she is not a woman who prostitutes herself. Okay? Because this is forbidden in Islam. This is one thing. The second thing also, this permissible in a country where is the Sharia, where is the Sharia is Islam. But in a place like in America, if a man marry a Christian woman and something happened to the marriage and the divorce, the law here will give the children to the woman automatically. And later on the woman will be taking these children to the church. So it is the responsibility of a man to protect his children before their existence. As a result of this, we see that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying, "Turkah al-mar'a li-arba'." A man marry a woman because four reasons: because her beauty, or because her religion, or because her family.
Am I connected? Can you tell me in the text chat that I'm connected, yes or no? Okay, thank you. Alright, Bismillah, Alhamdulillah, Salatu wassalamu ala Rasulillah. A continuation to our question that we were talking about, I myself, I don't perform any marriage. Unless the person, the future husband, he will come with a legal document which it shows that in case of divorce that the children will be going to their father, not to their mother. So they have to come with a document to say that in case of separation of divorce that the father will have the right over the children. Otherwise, if we're going to be here under this kafir law in the America, and the man marry, and I saw these things in my life here in America many times, that the mother is Christian, the father is Muslim, a divorce take place, and the mother take the children to the church, and now they are not Muslims anymore. And who's responsible about it? Of course, the father. Because he should know better from the beginning that he shouldn't be married a Christian woman, because you are responsible about the future of your children. If this is the, did this answer your question, sister? First sister, is it okay? I understand your question. I understand your question. The sister is asking here, which Christian, what kind of a Christian that we are lawful to marry from them? Let me tell you that the Christian in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not different from the Christians that in our time today. The proof and the evidence, the Quran came and say, Ya Ahl al-Kitab, O people of the book, then don't say Allah is the third of three. And he said, لَكَدْ كَفَرَ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا إِنَّ اللَّهُ وَالْمَسِيحُ ابْنُ مَرْيَمُ. Indeed, those who say that Jesus is son of God, or that Jesus is God, they are disbelievers. They are mushrikun, but they still Ahl al-Kitab, and Allah allow us to marry from them. So Allah knows about their kufr, Allah knows about their shirk, but still that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had permitted a man to marry from a Christian and Jew woman. This is permissible. So, because if the Christian in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam different, that mean, what does it mean different? They are Muslim, because there is nothing called halfway Muslim and halfway Christian. They are a Muslim or they are a kafir, although they claim to be Christian. Okay? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say, إِنَّ الدِّينَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ الْإِسْلَامِ. Indeed the religion in the sight of Allah is al-Islam. And Allah said, وَمَنْ يَبْتَغِ غَيْرَ الْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا فَلَنْ يُقْبَلَ مِنْهُ وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. If anybody accept other religion different from al-Islam, he's not going to be accepted by Allah and he will be among the losers. So Allah doesn't acknowledge any religion. Only the only religion that Allah acknowledges is al-Islam. So the Christian in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if they believe in Islam, if they believe in La ilaha illallah, they Muslims, they are not Christian anymore. Otherwise, if they still saying that Jesus son of God, and this what they used to claim, they are a Christian, and they are mushrik, and they are kafir also. And this is the reason the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, any Jew, any Christian or a Jew, he hear about me, he gets to know that Muhammad is the last messenger, and he doesn't believe in me, he will be in his fire. So it doesn't matter. Christian is always a Christian. Even if he pray day and night, even if he read the Bible, half of the Bible right, half is not, as long as he is not believe in the final, even if he believes that Allah is one, that Allah is not Jesus, that Allah is the creator, if he believes this, but he didn't accept the finality of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he is not a Muslim, he's still a Christian, he's a mushrik, he's a kafir. But Allah made exception for those people that we can marry from them, that we can eat their food. And perhaps Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best that there is a possibility that Allah allows this, that it may be under relationship and a close relationship between a man and woman, that this woman eventually may become a Muslim. You see? But Allah forbid to give our daughter to a kafir, i.e. Christian or a mushrik or a Jew. You mean not to marry a Christian? Okay. Sure, no problem. Computer acts a little bit crazy, but we are in the month of patience, so we can learn some patience more, okay? And sometimes it have more excitement, yeah, that you don't hear the answer right away, so it takes a minute until you hear it. I know we live in America, everything fast, but our computer is not fast. We can make a collection, buy a computer, fast, no problem. Maybe somebody, when they come, they bring their laptop.
Yeah, right there inside, you see them? Here's one in the chair, you also.
How much did I come up to, did you count?
Alright, I was still connected? Okay, alhamdulillah. The other question from the sister here asking about, can you share some light about why a Muslim woman could not marry a Christian or a Jew? For a simple reason, because Allah said so. This number one. Number two, that he's a kafir, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't allow for authority by choice to be from those who are lower than those who are higher. And Allah said, وَلَنْ يَجْعَلَ اللَّهُ لِلْكَافِرِينَ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ سَبِيلًا. Allah never will make authority for the kuffar over the Muslims. Okay? So now when a man, when a Christian man marry, and we understand the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying that if it's permissible for somebody to prostrate to somebody, I will order the woman to prostrate to her husband. So now the man has authority over his wife. So if he is a kafir and she's a Muslim, soon or later he will affect her in her deen, and he will spoil her Islam, and maybe because the love of him that she may leave Islam. Nevertheless, that we have to understand that the Muslim is a higher, much higher degree than a kafir. Allah said about the kuffar, innama al-mushrikuna najas. Indeed, the kuffar are impure. So how you, and the Prophet ﷺ said, Subhanallah, innal mu'min la yanjas. Glory be to Allah, the believer never be impure. Even a woman during her menses, she is not, you could not say that she is not clean or she is not pure. Alright? Even a Muslim, when he has the janabah, even if you don't have a wudu, he's still pure. But the mushrik, even if he take wudu, if he take a shower, he do everything, he's still not clean, neither he is a pure. You see? So there is a wisdom that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he legislate and he will do something, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he knows what he's doing. And this, like I said, the bottom line, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forbid such a thing for a woman, to Muslim woman, to be under a kafir man. No way. Yes. Okay, this person who have no, okay, the question again, so the people on the internet can hear it. He say, what about if the man say, I will marry you, that means he doesn't have any religion, and he want to marry a Muslim woman, and he will give her the freedom to raise her children as Muslims. We say, this is still haram, 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 because all the kufr is one system. He's a Jew, he's a Christian, he's a Hindu, or he has no religion, he's still a kafir. Even if he allows the children to be Muslims, still a man, kafir man, could not be in a bed with a Muslim woman. She is a Muslim. She have a higher degree. He much, much, much less. He's not even compared to her by any means. Because the purity been given to her through Islam, and he is impure. How you can put filth and milk together? No way. You could not. You could not put kufr and disbelief together. This is the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, now the question again for the people on the internet to hear us, inshallah. Brother Habib, let me see the text chat. Are we connected? Somebody please let me know, yes or no. Are we connected? I'm sorry, I could not see the text. I'm connected. Do you hear me? Okay. 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 What's the question? Go ahead.
Your Shahada, Nikki, little Nikki's back. She said, can a woman wipe over her scarf if she is about to do Salat in a public bathroom? That's what Nikki wants to know.
Okay, inshallah, I get to you as soon as I finish the question here. Now that's it. Somebody ask a question. Yes. The sister asking here, what about some people, they say that the boy who's going to marry the girl, he's taking shahada. Can we go to this marriage? Is this a lawful marriage? Now, first of all, only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what's the people's intention, what's in their hearts. We as Muslims, we've been commanded to judge by the appearance. We could not judge what's in the heart. If somebody says, I'm taking shahada because I want to be a Muslim, alhamdulillah. But I will give advice to the parents of this girl that this can be in an early stage, which we can allow some time to observe the behavior and the commitment of this person, if he really about Islam or only he did it so he can marry this girl. Okay? One second. So, if he did this, deceiving the people, and the family doesn't know, they are not obligated. He is doing something wrong, and it's haram, and they can get married if he, this is what he confessed. Because look to what happened with Khalid ibn Walid. In a battle of the field, he's a leader, one of the companions, Khalid. He killed a man, and when he was lifting the sword up about to hit him, he said, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah. But Khalid, he right away came to the conclusion, assumption, this man saying this, because he's scared from the sword. When the news came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was upset, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam kept admonishing Khalid, and he said to him, "Did you open his heart? Did you check what's in his heart?" Say, "O Prophet of Allah, he only said it because he's scared. I'm going to kill him, and I was about to hit him, and now this when he said it." He said, "Did you kill him after he said La ilaha illallah?" So what's in the heart, we could not. You can be the most devoted sister in Islam, but I see you in the street, you don't have a khimar. I never know you, I never met you. And I say, look at this kafir woman as example. I don't know that you are Muslim. How did I judge you by the way that you look? I don't know that you are a Muslim. I could not be blamed because I judge according to what I see. If somebody understands that, I see him praying like munafiqeen. Munafiqeen, the hypocrite in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they used to pray behind the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But Allah knows they are a hypocrite. And Allah knows that they did not took shahada in their heart. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam been forbidden to kill them, or to kick them out of the mosque, or to do any of these things. He has to accept it. But if this is my daughter, and somebody wants to marry my daughter, and he's not Muslim, and say, I want to take shahada, say, okay, no problem. We're going to teach you about Islam, and we're going to observe your life as a Muslim. If I'm much concerned about my daughter, about her deen, I can give myself 6 months, a year, why not? And if he really cares for my daughter, he needs to wait. Why not? You see? But coming out in front of everybody and say, okay, listen, who is the man with the beard, that understands it, the Maulana, or whatever it is, you say, you understand that you say a shahada. And you say after him, don't worry about it, you say whatever he say. Just understand, try to display things in front of the community is not going to help with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we leave this up to what actually in the heart of the people. Allah knows best. If the boy really said it from his heart, he mean it, alhamdulillah, he can marry here. If it's a game, and if the family know about it, they could not do it. The sin will be on them. Yes, the sister had asked a question about can she wipe on her socks when she make wudu? And the answer is yes, as long as she wear the socks. When she wears the socks, she have a complete tahara. That means she has a wudu already. Khimar, okay. We also thank you. That the sister made a full wudu, and after that she wear her socks, and now she break her wudu. The next time she ready to make wudu, she can wipe over her socks. Now the question, can she wipe over her khimar? Yes, a woman can wipe over her khimar, is allowed. Okay. No, we're talking about the khimar. We already talked about the socks. Can she wipe over her khimar, her headpiece, when she make wudu? Yes, she can. Does she have to put the khimar in tahara, full wudu first? No, she don't. Can a man wipe over his turban? Yes, he can. Can a man wipe over the headpiece that he wear, like what you call the ghutra, that something they wear it over the turban when they make wudu, instead wiping over their hair? Yes, he can. This been confirmed from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yes, he can do this. Okay, anybody have any other question? Over socks or khimar? Over what? Over the socks. You are allowed to wipe over it 5 prayers after you break your wudu the first time. 5 prayers. Okay, if you are home, that means home means in town. If you are a traveler person, you allow 3 days. You are allowed 3 days and 3 nights. So I'm from going from here to Chicago, and now I made my wudu, and now when I break my wudu, the next time I'm going to wipe over my socks. I'm not going to wash my feet. And now when I arrive to Chicago, as long as I didn't take my socks off, I can continue and wipe over it for a period of 3 days and 3 nights. Any other question? We seem just another came for the Quranic class, but it turned something else. Alhamdulillah. Alright, let's move to the Quranic class, inshallah. Last chance, if anybody in the internet have a question before we start the Quranic class. More other question, inshallah we can start our I don't see the text, the chat, so if you have a question, please give me a call before we start. Okay, alright, we're about to start now our Quran class, inshallah. we start. Where are you going, young sister? Where are you going? Do you have a school upstairs? No. Do you? You forgot I'm your teacher? Go ahead. Can a sister make wudu in a public bathroom? Yes, she can make wudu any place as long no men there. As long no men watching you, that they see you when you roll your sleeves up, or when you wipe, or when you wash your feet, yes, you allow, you can do it. Can I make wudu in the shower area, or where is the toilet? Yes, you can. Can I say Bismillah before I make wudu? Mike? Can I make wudu in the bathroom where the toilet is? Yes, you can. Can I say Bismillah? Yes, you can say Bismillah. Only when you sit in the toilet, this is the time that you are not supposed to mention the name of Allah. The bathroom area, okay, and I'm sure some of you have, mashallah, nice bathroom, okay, with carpet and telephone and TV and all the stuff. So it almost look like a bedroom. It's not a bathroom. So, yes, you can. When you are sitting in the toilet, this is what is called khalat. And this when you don't mention the name of Allah. But the sink is there inside the bathroom, there is no problem. You can say Bismillah and you can make wudu. Okay. Hotline, go ahead. Okay, question: a teenager that is Muslim and he or she, they did not make salah out of fear that their parents beat them, that if they could not make the salah and they get been punished, they should continue to make their salah. But if the punishment beyond what they can take, whenever they found a chance, they can make it. Like you can go in the bathroom and close the toilet seat and you can pray there. Or when they go to sleep, you can make your prayer. Or when you go to your Muslim friend house, you can make your prayer. Or you can find a means, because I don't think that your parents are going to monitor you 24/7. So if you could not, if the punishment beyond your ability that you can take, so now whenever you get the chance, you do your salah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Okay, now we're going to start our question. Does anybody still remember what is the last verse that we discussed? Number 7 or not? No. Nahara ma'asha wa banayna faqakum sab'an shidada. 10? Okay. Now I think we went to 11 or 12. No problem. No problem. Inshallah, no problem. Yes. So. We'll play it by ear. If I need you, I'll give you a call. Zakallah. Okay, before we start, inshallah, I'm going to go over the verses one time. A'udhu billahi. A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. It's up to you. Ma fi sudbar. عما يتساءلون عن النبأ العظيم الذي هم فيه مختلفون كلا سيعلمون ثم ثم كلا سيعلمون ألم نجعل الأرض مهادا والجبال أوتادا وخلقناكم أزواجا وجعلنا نومكم سباتا وجعلنا الليل لباسا وجعلنا النهار معاشا وبنينا فوقكم سبعا شدادا. Inshallah, quick review over the surah. We already said about amma yatasaloon, about what they question one another, about the great news, which can be the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or the Quran, or the Day of Judgment. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had told us it will come the time that they will get to know what they are differ about the Quran, about the Day of Judgment, about the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will show his way and let them know that this is reality and that this Quran is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is not a human being, is not a genuine part of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. After this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala went about counting his favor upon mankind in general, how that Allah made the earth for us in a way that we can travel, that he make it like a bed, spread it. That means it's not the whole earth mountains, it's not all the earth are water and oceans. Allah made a way that we can travel, we can build houses, and that how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala maintain and strength the land by putting the mountain to be firm and to hold it down, nail it down. How does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, out of his mercy, he created us in pairs, i.e. male and female, for generation and generation to be continuing and to be children, and for multiplication of the children, all the things from the ni'mah of Allah, and the need of a husband to a wife, and a wife to a husband, so the man can carry obligation, while the woman carry other obligation. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, out of his mercy and out of his blessings, that he create us in pairs, that mean male and female. Also out of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's blessings, that he made our sleep subata, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made our sleep subata, and he made the layl, which is the night, libasa, and made the nahar, the day, as ma'asha, for livelihood. And he instructed above us seven heaven, which no defect or any problem in it. As he said, what are they asking one another about? About the great news, i.e. the Islamic monotheism, Quran, which Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam brought, and the day of resurrection, about which they are in disagreement, nay. Who can tell me what the word nay in Arabic? I'm not supposed to look in the Quran. You already have a whole month to study. How you say the word nay in Arabic? This is a simple question. Huh? Thank you. Kalla. Alright. What is the word mountain in Arabic? Jibal. Okay. How did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how this can be count as one of Allah's blessings that he creates mountains? Because the mountains do what to the land, to the earth? To hold it down, stability. Can you imagine this member with no nails? When the imam will go on it for Jummah, give the khutbah, he will break his neck. Which is some people waiting for this, is it? Alright? So Allah made also the mountains to be like nails, like outad. What is the wadad? Wadad? Anybody know? Like when the people build the tent, they put what? Pigs. You understand? To hold it down in the ground. So this is the same thing for the mountains to be holding the earth. So So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, have we not made the earth as a bed, and the mountains as pegs? And we have created you in pairs, i.e. male and female. And we have made your sleep as a thing for rest. And we mentioned this before, how the sleep is a great ni'mah from Allah. And do you know, if you don't sleep, you will go crazy. You go to the mental hospital. And guess what? You don't buy the sleep. Allah gives it to you every night for free. You go lay down, and after this you sleep. When you wake up in the morning, now you are almost like a new person. Now you got your energy back after you exhausted and tired. What happened? Did anybody plug you to the wall? Charge you? Nothing. You go sleep, you rest, you wake up like a new person, ready to go, like $1 million. We have more than millions of dollars. Allah bless us with many things that we do not even think about it. Your health. You wake up in the morning, say Alhamdulillah. Praise Allah that He give you your life back, He give you your eyes back, your hearing, that you're able to talk, that you're able to stand in your feet. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can able to take all these things while you're sleeping. And no one can fight Allah back, okay? So Allah said that He made your sleep a rest. You don't go to sleep and every 5 minutes you jump, and maybe you wake once or twice during the night, you see? And you change your side. But Allah made the sleep a resting for you, regaining your ability again for the new day. And let me mention something about it in this story, that Fatima, may Allah be pleased with her, the daughter of the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Who was her husband? Anybody know? Radiallahu anhu. Ali karramallahu wajha, he is her husband. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, slaves that came brought to him. And he said, okay, Fatima radiallahu anhu used to work hard. Work very hard. Where? In Kmart? No. Where? The National Bank? No. She was in her house, serving her family. And she used to grain the wheat until that her hands have what you call blisters in it, okay? And she used to carry the water, and she used to brush and clean and sweep the wheat. She did a lot. And the work was too much for her. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't go to Ali and say, how are you abusing my daughter? Or she didn't say to Ali, what are you talking? I'm not your mate. I'm going to do all these things. Ali radiallahu anhu used to work outside and she work in the house. And this is the system that Allah made for the family. Not the husband and the wife, both of them, they leave their nest to their house. And now we get a babysitter for the children. This is the kafir way. This is the American way. We don't love our children enough. We get a babysitter, kuffar babysitter for them. So anyway, the work was too much for them. So when they heard about those people came to the Prophet, say, let's go and what? And ask the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, maybe he will give us one of the slaves to help us. So if a woman is not supposed to help her husband, to assist him in the house, with the children, with the cooking, with the cleaning, with making the bread, all the things, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would tell Ali, how come you abusing my daughter? He didn't do this. Okay? So they went, they found the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam busy. So, astaghfirullah, sister, hurry up. Astaghfirullah. You don't see me sitting here? You don't let the imam see your hair? Cover. Good girl, mashallah. No, still some outside. Mashallah. Allah bless you. Jazakallah khairan. You push it back again. Okay. No problem. Next time she will fix it. No, she don't have a mirror. She don't see it. It's okay. Don't get upset with me. I'm only joking with you. Alright? Are you mad at me now? I'm sorry. Alright. So they came to the Prophet ﷺ, and the Prophet ﷺ was busy. They left him alone and they went to home. So when the Prophet ﷺ was finished what he's doing, he went to visit Ali and Fatima. May Allah be pleased with them, radiallahu anhu. And say, what's the problem? What you came to see me for? You need something? Say, oh, Prophet of Allah, we heard that some slaves came to you, so we came to see if you can help us with assistance, give us one maid. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he did not give them a maid. He did not give them a maid. But he said what? Would I inform you about something much better for you than a servant, a maid? What? He said, when you go to lay down, when you take your place in your bed and you're about to sleep, say subhanallah, how many? 33. And alhamdulillah, how many? And Allahu Akbar, how many? Alhamdulillah, mashallah, my sister, they study. They're doing good. And he said that this is much better for you than a servant. I want you guys to try this prescription that came from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Subhanallah, we get busy when we go to sleep, we forget. If you do this, this will be a great help for you about taking care of the children. It's not 5 o'clock yet. Oh, okay, alright, thank you. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says this is much better for you than having a servant. So we need the help, we need assistance, especially the sisters that have 8 and 9 and 10, I don't know, I'm talking about my wife, not you. The sister who have a lot of kids, they work very hard, they need assistance, they need to remember before they go to sleep to say what? Subhanallah 33, but don't do it like this. Okay? Subhanallah, subhanallah. Take your time. Don't, you understand? And do your fingers like this, okay? Yeah. Take your time and say it right so you can have the result. Okay? Because if I do like this, you understand any stuff, it's not going to give me anything. Same thing when you do to Allah, sip, like this, it's not going to come. You have to do it right. Say, subhanallah, subhanallah. Take your time, okay? So it seems that we are not going to be able to have any verses today because they asked me to start the adhan. So please forgive me, but inshallah, you know how it's Ramadan, but because we had a special program today, about 3 o'clock is good. Okay? It's fine, inshallah. Jazakumullah khairan. And I hope nobody, inshallah, I would like to invite all of you tonight for dinner in the mosque, okay? Jazakumullah khairan for accepting the invitation. Subhanakallahumma bihamdik. And the brothers, and Ahmed also. Everybody invited. Even the people in the internet are invited. We can email you some food, and we have a hot food tonight. The Imam will be crying with tears. See? Inshallah. Alright, we're going to break for the Adhan and Salah. Inshallah, you join us later. Brother Ali is ready for the Adhan.